at Calvary. The saints of all the ages fill its ranks. O'er the sands of time they're marching to their king's great coronation. And this could be the dawning of that day. Oh, this could be the dawning of that grand and glorious day, when the face of Jesus we behold. Dreams and hopes of all the ages are awaiting his returning. And this could be the dawning of that day. Nothing here holds their allegiance. They're not bound by shackles forged of earthly gold. Since that day they knelt at Calvary, they've been pilgrims ever wandering, just looking for a place to rest their soul. Oh, this could be the dawning of that grand and glorious day, when the face of Jesus we behold. Dreams and hopes of all the ages are awaiting his returning. And this could be the dawning of that day. The saints are getting restless. Oh, what glorious expectation fills each face. Dreams and hopes of all the ages are awaiting his returning. And this could be the dawning of that day. Oh, this could be the dawning of that grand and glorious day, when the face of Jesus we behold. Dreams and hopes of all the ages are awaiting his returning, and this could be the dawning of that day.
Sing like Brother George or Brother Ed, and I can't speak like Brother Ben, and I pray I can say this right. This morning when I got up, I looked at a request by the Easter Seal Society for donations. And it was interesting. It struck me that there was no mention of God. There was no mention of Easter. They had young children in wheelchairs that they were trying to help with their donations. And quite obviously, the help that these children would receive would only be almost fruitless. My testimony is about a prayer and prayers God has answered. My testimony is also meant to give glory to God for what he has done. Amen. Some of you may have been here when we prayed for my cousin Martin just over a month ago. He's a young doctor who just had his 30th birthday. Unexpectedly, he became ill with a viral encephalitis, which is a very rare viral infection of the brain. And this is an infection of the brain substance itself. To give you an idea, a busy neurologist, that is a nerve specialist, may see one case only every 2 or 3 or 4 years. And this is a dreaded disease because the brain is one tissue that usually cannot well repair itself. With healing, there can be scarring, and that usually leads to epileptic seizures, and thus the damage is often permanent. The virus attacks the area of the brain that holds memory primarily, and also other areas, so that in the first instance, about 38% of people that get this illness die. So when I heard about Martin, he was in coma and he was unconscious and he had had an epileptic seizure. My uncle and aunt had asked me to find out what treatments were considered best in North America. So I inquired here at the university and I spoke to the professor of neurology at the university who revealed to me that Martin had had the best treatments possible and that nothing further could be done. He also pointed out that the family should be happy that Martin was alive. And that was the point that I requested prayer for him, and we did pray. And we knew at that time that if he survived, he might have permanent loss of recent memory. And if that were so, he would be unable to practice medicine as a physician. So we prayed especially that besides the full recovery of his health, he would also receive complete healing in regard to his memory. A week later, another letter arrived. My uncle had again written in desperation and despair. Martin had survived, but he had complete loss of recent memory. He couldn't remember anything, whom he had just seen, what he'd been told, or who, for instance, had visited or brought him flowers. So I was requested to find out what could be done in regard to his memory loss. The experts here at the university and at McGill University, where I called, held out little hope. Nothing could really be done. Chances of recovery were poor. Specific treatment, there was really none. At the Montreal Neurological Institute, one group was doing internationally recognized research on memory, but the professor to whom I needed to speak was away a few days so that I would have to wait for his return. Because of our slow mail, I decided to telephone to Germany and to ask how Martin was. For the first time, the news was better. Martin showed some signs of being able to remember things. At the same time, I received a letter confirming what had happened and what I'd been told over the telephone. And so I felt much, much happier. 12 days passed, and this Friday, after the service on Friday night, I telephoned again at midnight, which was 9 o'clock their time. My aunt answered and for the first time asked how I was. In return, I told her that I wasn't interested in exchanging greetings so much as to know how Martin was doing. And at that point, she asked me if I wanted to speak to him. So I did speak to him, and he sounded as normal as you or I. I knew then that God had heard our prayer, and he had again answered our prayers. And that is what I told Martin. I could say more. I could mention how this whole situation affected and gripped me, how frustrating it was. I could tell you about the desperation and the burden I had. But I must also say that I did have faith that God would heal him. Again, I've come to recognize what an all-powerful God we serve. A God we can approach in prayer, a God who's merciful and forgiving, and further, a God who stands by us when on human terms there's no hope and there's no answer. And I wonder if Brother Ed would find it proper for all of us in the assembly to offer a prayer of sincere thanks to the Almighty God and to our Savior, Jesus Christ, who's God with us, among us, and in us.
Amen. God bless you, Julie. Shall we stand? I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Job. Job 14. We shall begin reading from the first verse. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months out thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest, till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope for a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender branch will not cease, though its root wax old in the earth, and its stalk die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth, and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down, and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave. Thou wouldest conceal me until thy wrath be past. That thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Because he saw that the tree was appointed a set time to come back. He saw the flower was appointed a set time to come back. He saw even the sea with its waves, it would go out and the boundaries would be appointed. It cannot cross it. And he's looking at those things and, you know, he was thinking, and maybe I wonder, you know, if a man dies, shall he live again all the days of my appointed time? Will I wait till my change come? Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Let's turn to Joel chapter 2. Taking a little inspiration this morning out of two messages, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and also the restoration of the bright tree. Joel 2, verse 25-32. Over in Joel 1, he was speaking about how the palmer worm had, what the palmer worm had eaten, the locust had left, you know, and so on, and how the locust eaten, and the cankerworm eaten, and the caterpillar eaten. And here now God is showing him again another vision they were going to be restored back. Verse 25, Joel chapter 2. And I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who had dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And I can see that by the testimony this morning that our brother gave, my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. For in Mount Zion, and we are Mount Zion. We have come to Mount Zion, innumerable company of saints, spirits of judgment made perfect. And in Jerusalem, Mount Zion's heavenly Jerusalem, that's very bright, shall be deliverance. Yes. And as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. One more scripture before you have a seat. Genesis 20. Amen. Verse 1, and Abraham journeyed from there toward the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. Now we know Genesis 18, the Son of Man was being revealed to Abraham. Amen. Elohim came in flesh in the form of a man, turned his back to the tent and discerned Sarah's heart, opened up the mysteries to Abraham. Abraham had a revelation. He was the supreme judge of all the earth. And in Genesis 21, the promised son came. So this was between Elohim being revealed and the coming of the promised son. Amen. Amen. And when Elohim was revealed in flesh, he left. 1965, we saw that went off the scene. And we are waiting for the promised son. And here, between that time, something is happening here. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she's my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But you see, there's already in a covenant. Amen. Already joined by God. Amen. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. Amen. For the woman whom thou hast taken, for she's a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, will thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore sufferest I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife. For he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, no doubt that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. And verse 14. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah, his wife. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Our Heavenly Father, this great Easter morning, Lord, when the world is commemorating Easter, but Lord, we pray that our lives will reveal what Easter is. Amen. Oh God, may your presence be so richly felt in this service today. And may you show forth that you are the mighty conqueror. Lord, I pray you'll do the exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Show yourself alive by infallible proofs. And do something, Lord, that you did before that we can know it is our risen Lord amongst us. We commit ourselves in the service into your hands, and we await your divine leadership and direction in all that we say and do. Let it be for your honor and for your glory and for the assistance of your people. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. May I have a seat? Want to go right into the Word. on Friday night, we were speaking about Jesus on the cross, the meal and the oil and the two sticks. And last night, we was taking Jesus, you know, how he's down in hell, preaching to the lost, hell veiling flesh, and showing that that great ministry of the bride would preach to the lost in hell, creating on the earth today. Amen. And then this is Sunday morning. He's up from the grave. Because just as it began to dawn, while it was yet dark, still dark, a mighty angel descended from heaven. And he was coming for one purpose. He was coming to pull the seal back that had sealed up the word. Amen. The body was cold and stiff and dead in the tomb. But that angel was coming to roll that stone back and shake that cold, stiff, dead body back to life. It didn't happen Friday. It didn't happen Saturday. But on the morrow after the Sabbath, on the Sunday, Revelation 10:1, when that angel came down and pulled that seal back, the Easter seal, quickening power, amen, came into the body of Jesus. And the body of Jesus is his church, his bride. And that body was sealed up behind that seal. But in the Sunday, God had determined the body will not remain dead. Do you know we're in the morrow after the Sabbath? Amen. The eighth day. And it brings you back to the first day. It's the resurrection. And I want to speak this morning. It is Easter time for the bride. Because nature is putting forth a testimony in this hall that we don't see in the winter time. No, we don't see in summertime. See, no, it's springtime. It's Easter time. And nature declares that. The trees declares that. The flowers declares that. And we look and we see them. By the time we see the signs, we know it's spring. Because the behavior identifies the season. Amen. And as we see that in God's Bible of nature, we know that God wrote three Bibles. The first Bible in the heavens, in nature, before the written Bible was written. Then the second Bible in the pyramids. And then the third Bible for this intellectual age, the written Bible. But all three Bibles reveal one person, Jesus Christ. And all three Bibles has one author. And all three Bibles have the same revelation, have the same theme. Amen. So if nature gives forth witness that there's a season when death power is broken, then somewhere in God's Bible, written Bible, there's a season when death power shall be broken also. Amen. So
thinking on these thoughts this morning, it is Easter time for the bride. And I want to use for a little subject to bring out what we want to say and establish in our hearts. To see the vision of Easter, God's appointed time for full restoration, is a time appointed in the economy of God. That's what Easter is. It's a specific time. And something happens in that time. And to know that your Redeemer liveth. Personal, your Redeemer. Now, Savior could be one thing, but Redeemer is another. See, foolish virgins be saved. But redeem. Take your back where you was in the beginning. Those names in the book of redemption. Those who were genes in the loins of God. Eternal as God was eternal. And Job says, my Redeemer. He had a vision. He saw something. And I'm taking this from I know that my Redeemer liveth. And the restoration of the bright tree. On the restoration of the bright tree, 1962. It was preached April the 22nd, I believe. And the prophet was making certain statements. We just want to, maybe just as we build in our text this morning, just some of these statements that he was making. On page 71, it says, I will restore, said the Lord. There will be an Easter. It will bring forth that same church in its same power. It will bring that bride out just like she was back there with the same signs, same fruits, same things that they did. I'll bring her back again. I will restore, saith the Lord. Amen. He was looking for an Easter. Amen. When the bride will be back just like she was back there. Right. Same signs, same fruits, same everything. Because he saw it in Joel. The leaves was eaten down. Them four stages of that bug, those four horse riders, those four messengers of death. Then page 72, he says, it's Easter again for the true believers of his never failing word. It's Easter, it's a resurrection. God's got people everywhere. It's Easter for them. Why? They have risen from those creeds and denominations. Come right through them, it's Easter again. The royal seed has been hid in the roots, the word. Hid back the air in this word for years and years and years. And just now begin to be revealed. It's Easter time. Predestinated from the foundation of the world. This church is beginning to stand. Amen. Then page 74, he says, I'll restore, said the Lord. I'll send forth the evening light. And it will bring back the word, making it manifest. I will restore all that I have promised. All that I have promised. The same Holy Spirit will bring and bear the same signs. I'll have an Easter. A resurrection for the bride, the same as I had one for the bridegroom. Amen. So, 1962, before the seals were opened, before the Easter seal was broken, he said there'll be an Easter for true believers. There'll be a resurrection for the bride, the same as for the bridegroom. Brother Edward speaking about that message you listened to, the Easter seal. And the Easter seal 1965. You know, the prophet had a way that the Holy Spirit had given him to speak things and veil it and hide it from the wise and the prudent. God hiding himself from the wisest theologian, he says, in his own word. But Christ been revealing in his own word to believers, veiled to some and unveiled to others. And he talked about the denominational veils that was upon their hearts. That when Moses was read, they were still looking back at something history. But when those hearts are turned to the Lord, Amen. Then they will see what is really happening. And in 1965, the Easter seal, page 19 and 20, all those seals have been broken. He had called it the Easter seal because he preached six seals and the Easter seal. And the Easter seal is the resurrection seal. And the resurrection is at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise. And the voice of the archangel is the voice of the resurrection. And the resurrection is not under the first six seals. It is under the seventh seal. Because the seventh seal is a shout, a voice, and a trump, the coming of the Lord. So in the Easter seal, he says, so, page 19, so we are Easter also. Amen. We are now in our Easter. Amen. We have already raised, hallelujah, from the things of the world to the things of God promised. Not we will, we are. It's potential, it's God promised. He will pour out his spirit in the last days. Amen. Then page 23, he says, seeing the hour we are living in, we need an Easter in the church. Resurrection. We need a resurrection to power faith. Man and woman to stand out for that which is God's vindicated word. He said, we need that. Amen. Page 24, we need an Easter, a resurrection. That's potential. Then page 36 and 37, Easter seal. He says, we are beyond any shadow of doubt, potentially in the resurrection right now. The saints are getting ready to be taken up in the air. Amen. Jesus was so full of this quickening power. He said, if you can destroy this temple that took 40 years you taught to build, I will raise it up in 3 days. Why? Why did Jesus say that? I want to ask you. Why could Jesus say a thing like that? I wish I could make this. He says, he knew who he was. Amen. He knew that every word God had wrought of him, he had fulfilled it. He knew he was the one David spoke of. And then he turns to us and says, do you know you are the ones the Bible speaks of? Do you know your position in Christ? If you are in Christ, you are a new creator, a new creature. You know this word is just like everyday living to you. Amen. He's every saint of God, page 37, that has that promise in him knows that that's the truth. So fear not, brother, we are already in the Easter. So here it was. He was saying that there will be an Easter, and then when that Easter seal was pulled back, he was revealed. You see, a seal is what got a message bound up on the inside. And when the seal was pulled back, then the Easter message could be preached. It's the rising of the sun. You see, the Easter seal, he preached that April 10th, 1965, out in Phoenix. And then he came to Jeffersonville and he preached, it is the rising of the sun. The rising of the sun was the mystery under the Easter seal. Amen. Because the mighty angel had come down and quickened that body back to life. And it's been waved over the congregation again. So here was the prophet. Notice in Easter seal, he took St. Matthew 28 as a scripture. The mighty angel came down from heaven to pull the stone back. And the rising of the sun, when he took that picture and he turned it to the right side. And he took Revelation 1. And that supreme judge in the Lord's day between his priesthood and his kingship, between Son of God and Son of David, when the Son of Man was being revealed. He said, I have the keys of hell and of death. Hallelujah! And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. So here he was revealing to us the time that we are living at, that there was going to be an Easter for the church, but now we are in that Easter. Amen. He said, we are beyond any shadow of a doubt, potentially in the resurrection right now. Because if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal bodies. Bring it in obedience to the word of God. He said, that body have already turned heavenly. Because that body with a law of sin in it, that born by sex, that born of the nature of unbelief. That sticky cocklebur nature. Because of the wheat inside the cocklebur. You can be high passion, you can be low passion, you can born under this sign, you can born under that sign, and brings it in obedience to the word. It brings that body in a raptured condition. He said, the body have already turned heavenly. Because the earnest of your change of body is already inside of you. You have passed from death unto life. Amen. Hallelujah. So then we see Easter, God restoring time. It is a time when the springsman returns in the role of the enforcer. And this is what Job, you know, had a vision of. Here was Job in the Bible. As you look at him this morning, we take him here in our text. And Job, you know, he was going through a hard trial, as we all know. In a couple days' time, he lost children, cattle, camels, his home. He was on an ash heap. He had come up beautiful. He had beautified his environment. Amen. He was a man who came all over the world for an interview to spend a few moments with Job. He had such a gift from God because he was a prophet. He had a channel of communication that he got by inspiration. But here he was going through a trial and he couldn't get no inspiration from God to understand what he was going through. But you see, Job was a prophet. For his age. And the word of God comes to the prophet of that age. And God had to reveal out of God's Bible. Amen. His mystery for that age. Yeah. And the prophet had to catch that mystery. Amen. And bring forth his message to the believers of that age. Amen. But your Bible was a Bible in nature. Amen. And you know, you had a great maybe healing ministry. And you had discernment and a gift of wisdom and these things. But then when the message was to come forth, Job knew that, you know, there was something. But God had to bring him to a crushing. God had to bring him to a forsaken time. God had to bring him to a time of separation. A time of a weakness. Before the message could be revealed to Job. You know, the prophet says, when the Bible, now that the book is open, you could see. He's like beginning to show the seventh seal all the way from the book of Genesis all the way through Revelation. Because all through the Bible. And here was Job, you know, in that time. And it just takes us to be in certain situations that brings us in a certain attitude. That we could catch certain revelations. We could be taught certain things by the Holy Spirit. So sometimes God wants to teach us something and we don't realize because of insecure, we think well maybe something is wrong. We think maybe whenever God teaches us something is somewhere on Mount of Olives. Amen. You know, where it's nice and peaceful and serene and he just speak words of wisdom. Well, sometimes God wants to bring us through some real hard trials to teach us certain things. And for Job to catch that revelation for his time, he was there and, you know, he was trying to understand and the enemy, his friends, began to accuse him. Maybe you're living in sin, Job. Or maybe something's wrong here. Or maybe something's wrong over here. And then he began to question his own self. He began to curse the day he was born. He hated himself. He could understand. And when we are in a situation like that, it brings us to despair, to desperation. It brings us to a place, oh God, he said, if only I could find where God lives, I'll go and knock on his door and talk to him. Then one time, he says, if only I could find a holy man who can take a sinful man like me in one hand and a holy God and bring me together. A days man, one that could mediate for me. It showed the agony of his soul. It showed what he was going through in that time of trial. But as we we keep looking at Job and enter into what he was faced with, a crucial time for him. After all, a couple of weeks ago, he was a great man, esteemed highly. Now, people were suspicious of him. It looked like you can't be blessed of God and be in a condition like that. It looked like a failing in his ministry. But he was entering to get the greatest revelation ever. Amen. When the prophet is forsaken, all man has forsaken me. When he was sick, the air to say, look at you, preaching divine healing and going to doctors. Amen. When the crowd begin to leave him, they say he's washed up. Amen. But he was fixing to enter into the greatest realm of the supernatural he ever worked in. And here was Job in that hour. And you know, he might have preached the first seal and tell him about deception, preach this and tell him about the other things, and preach all the historical events, and you know, preach all the, you know, the political events and all these different things. And they might have said, Job is a real wise man. He must minister to the sick and help the broken homes and mend them back. But here now, in that hour, is the first time, like death, it began to dawn upon him in a real way. And he began to look for answers, and like he didn't have the answer. So he was there searching his Bible of nature, flipping the pages, as it were, pulling it for inspiration. Yeah. And while he was there, you know, reading that Bible of nature, because you know God's first Bible was in nature, in the heavens. When God created the sun, God was expressing in a symbol form the mystery of Son of Man, Son of God, and Son of David. Because God made that sun to be the light of the world. God ordained it that nothing cannot live if that sun don't rise. Because of what God was thinking about himself. Then when God made the moon, he was showing forth the mystery of his bride. She will have no light of her own. She will reflect the light of the sun in its absence. That is her role, how she will function. Amen. Then, when God came and speaking the stars into existence and laying them out there in the constellations, he had to put a special star, a morning star. He said, now you're going to come out just when the darkest time, the sun will be coming from the east. And while the sun is coming, the night of the darkness of yesterday will be still hanging around. You will push it back. Amen. We'll all be gathered to one side. And as the darkness congregates, even though the sun is not yet visible, we know that the sun is coming because only reaction to the action of the sun coming. And he says, right in that conjunction, morning star, you will shine. That's your ministry. You will herald that the sun is coming. You will shine in the darkest time. And God, you know, is expressing his thoughts in nature, laying his Bible out. Then he says, I'm going to have a great morning time. He wanted a morning time. And the sun is going to rise, not in the north. Maybe some angels say, why don't you put it in the north, Lord? Because the congregation is the size of the north. He said, no, it must come from the east. Amen. That's where I'm going to put my first appearance when I go on the earth. Amen. That's where the first revealing of the Son of Man will be, in the east. He says, and you're going to go from east to west. And God made an evening time, a sunset time. Amen. The sun must shine in the west. The same sun that rose in the east will set in the west. Because God knew there's going to be a great evening time, a great setting of the sun time that was going to come. So he was writing his mystery in symbol form. Amen. And all those things that God wrote in symbol, he wrote it back in the Bible here.
He put a prophecy, it shall be like the evening time. He put a prophecy, the Son of Man shall be revealed. Will it come back like Sodom? He put a prophecy, and the bright and morning star, the ministry of the morning star. Amen. He put a prophecy of the bride in the Bible. Then God, knowing that that would just be information out there, but had to have seasons now. So that the people could know the and have expectation when something is to be fulfilled. So God put a springtime when life comes forth out of the earth. Then God put a winter time. Type in his great judgments when everything is going to die. Amen. He put a, just before the winter, he put a season right there, autumn, fall. When the leaves are going to fall off the tree, showing that winter is coming. And then all them birds out there, the ducks out in the pond. They're born all their life and grow up in that pond. But there's a certain duck. From the time the season is going to change and the cold breeze is going to come over the mountain, there's something in that duck. The chemistry is makeup, the biology of God in that duck. Amen. Something strike him. He never went to no seminary and learned how to do those things. Something strike him and he begin to honk. And he begin to put out seven honks. Hallelujah. And as them seven honks honk out. Amen. It starts a gathering time. A uniting time. Because those honks are revealing. Winter is coming. Judgment is coming. The season is changing. And those ducks will understand the language. It's a gathering for the rapture because they're fixing to fly away. So God had all those things in nature. Then he had the winter time. When judgment was going to move in and death going to sweep the whole earth. Everything will die. Amen. And God preaching through Napier to show that if he wanted to bring the message through Napier, he could have brought it. The all that we preach is already in Napier. But he chose man to be his voice to speak that message. But God gave Napier a mute testimony of the same message. So since that was Job's Bible, Job had to get inspiration from the characters that Job preached about. Arcturus and Pleiades, and he preached about the tree, and the flower, and the sun, and the sea. Amen! He said, we wrote Esther and Ruth and Samson and David. Because the Job, he was catching inspiration. And the people who live in his age could relate to his message. Because they saw the continuity of Job's inspiration. And they saw the application of it in their own lives. And it brought them into harmony with God's will and purpose for that hour. Amen. But here Job was. He had come to a place where he had a question. I know if it's a Bible question, must have a Bible answer. Hallelujah! But he couldn't get no inspiration to unlock that mystery. But lay somewhere there, sealed up in shadows and types and symbols. But he had the inspiration to put it together. Maybe them theologians and Job there. Had maybe when a man go on the grave, well, he wouldn't come back up, and that's the end of him. And Job said, but that don't fit in with nature. Amen. It must run all the way, you know. And he couldn't, but he himself didn't have the answer. Because, see, that mystery, inspiration, was going to be released to reveal it in God's appointed time. Job come through that year, and it seems that his mind was being locked into a certain channel. He couldn't help but study maybe the flower. And while he was studying the flower, You know, you look at it, it's so beautiful and inspiration revealing to him. Look at that flower, how beautiful it is. Solomon all in glory. See, wasn't arrayed like one of those. It doesn't toil nor spin. But it comes up and it beautifies the environment. It's an attraction to the passerby as it toils to push itself up. Coming out, all them bugs trying to eat the dung, but there's a repellent in it. Because it's not hybrid that throws them bugs off. It is self-sacrificial because the bee comes and takes his nectar. Amen. Another person comes and takes part to beautify the place. The passerby comes and smells it. The environment is beautified by it. It is serving God's purpose. Him and the purpose God sent on the earth for. Then it dies and it withers away. And Job realizes, but dies at the end of it, it comes back again. Then you look at the tree, no doubt. And you see the tree come forth so beautiful. Push out its leaves. Fellowship. Amen. Come with nice, good bark. The covering. The doctrine. Amen. Hallelujah. Bring forth fruits. Hallelujah. That when it's so laden with fruit, it just bows down in humility. Amen. When it has no fruit, it stands straight up in the air. Proud as ever. And Job, no doubt, seen the mystery of these things, and seen the life, and the law of resurrection in that seed, that it brings forth after its kind. What a life started that tree. What type of seed? It grows forth into a plant and dents into fruit. Amen. And no doubt, Job will take that law and apply it to people and churches. He was a prophet. Amen. He could catch that inspiration. While you know, another season, he was watching now the sea and how the moon controls the tide like a watchdog. But it comes up close and from the time it was moving the land and drowned everything, that moon stands and says, hold your place. Amen. Don't cross that line. Amen. Amen. It goes back. But Job didn't realize that when Pastor Tree was preaching to him, amen. He was revealing the mystery and answering the questions of Job on life. But Job was receiving this information and not personalizing that he is that tree. That tree was put there as a type for Job to reveal the mystery of life after death for Job. When the evangelist flow, amen, begin to reveal himself to Job. He said, Job, like you come up beautiful and nice. Yeah. Amen. All the people like the bees come over to draw nectar from you. Yeah. You have a great ministry. Anybody talk about you? Yeah. You look so nice. You're so attractive. Your ministry created an attraction. Yeah. Amen. But look at tree. Wait, look at flower. The heat of the day. The sun, who is it? Yeah. It's like you, Job. And that's your condition. You in that stage of the flower now. But you see, Job wasn't personalizing. That was Job types and Job shadows put there to reveal the mystery of Job life on the earth. Amen. See, then, as Job began to look at these things, you know, he was saying, I wonder if God has an appointed time for me. Yeah. I wonder. You know, I wish God could hide me. You know, like wishing. You know, I wish God could hide me. Yeah. You know, in the grave until this rock be passed and bring me back out like the tree. Yeah. But that was it. But it wasn't quick and it wasn't inspired. Yeah. Right. He said, you know, God would call again, I would answer. Yeah. It was all superficial. Right. Maybe I shouldn't think that way because you know, after all, I know tree. He was a tree. Because man is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He was a flower because Jesus is the lily of the valley of the rock of Sharon. And when the rose of Sharon is crushed, then it brings an opium. Amen. Hallelujah. See? It brings a perfume to anoint you on the lilies crushed. It brings open up the soothe them frustrated minds. I think Job's crushing. He's going to get more inspiration to help his people. Amen. Amen. But he was in a kind of hope so well.
Yes, he was.
Have it superficial. But look at something now. Here he was. Sitting in, you know, 1 foot almost in the grave.
Yes.
No more friends. Even the wife says, God's got to die. But something hung inside of the air. Wait on it. He said, don't slay me yet. I'll trust him. Amen. I can't understand what is going on yet, but I'm going to stand flat footed because God spoke to me before. God will speak to me again. While he was waiting there, the prophet on a clear day. Hallelujah. On a clear day, he heard the thunder begin to roll. He saw the lightning begin to flash. Because while he sat there, the Holy Spirit began to bring back to remembrance when I was attracting the flower Job, that was you. When I was attracting you to the tree, that was you, Job. And as inspiration began to come to him in his greatest trial, stepping at his lowest point, he began to realize realization. Amen. Job began to see what caused the death of the flower. He began to follow it. You know, maybe he's just flipping pages now. He jumped from that part of his Bible to the another part of his Bible. He said, wait, it's the sun. Is that sun to rise? What caused the winter? If the earth goes away from the sun. Get it? He said, when the earth goes away from the sun, winter will freeze over everything. But what brings the spring is because there's a promise of the sun to return. Hallelujah! Glory be to God! And that seed, knowing it lives and serves God's purpose for the age God placed it in, it lived and it growed in the channel of inspiration God planted it in. It never let no creepers of education, civilization, science wrap around it to deform it. It grew in a straight line. Hallelujah! When the bugs come and begin to fight it, it never gets frustrated and just went away and died. It had a repellent to push them bugs off, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. So it died here knowing that sun is going to return. But I'm going to be covered over with 20 feet of snow. But when that sun comes at Easter time, he comes not to beg the snow, please snow, with a nice good little flower. You know, look how it's suffering. Let it rise again. No. When that sun returns, it comes in the role of the enforcer. It don't look at conditions. It don't look at how much snow it has here. That sun comes determined that flower must rise again. That sun comes determined to melt away the snow. The very thing that caused death, he's going to melt it and make it bring a resurrection. And the scent of water, it will rise again. The very same troubles that back you in the corner, God is going to use that to bring you back out in power. Amen. Job begins to break into the vision of Easter. He begins to catch a mystery that the sun has a promise to come back. No, I'm talking about Revelation 10. I ain't talking about no flower in the back. The Son of Man be revealed. I will come again, Jesus said. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, a voice, and a trump, and the dead shall rise. The mystery of the seventh seal. The resurrection seal. The Easter seal. That's our Easter in our Bible. But Job had his Easter in his Bible. By the same mystery. While Job began to get caught up in the revelation, that inspiration, he realizes He was in front of me all the time. Like the prophet, read Genesis 3 all in the years. And one day dawned upon him, serpent seed. It never happened. Read the Bible all in the years. Realize that Matthew 20:19 is Acts 2:38. Read Revelation 10:7. That is me. Read Malachi 4:5. That is me. Read Elijah and Moses and Joshua all of them, and see them in different phases, revealing different parts of his ministry. It wasn't just a shadow, a type. It held the mystery of his life. It wasn't some Bible history alone. And Job all that time, that's a mistake Job was making. The tree and the flower, but that was just little things there. But I wish it could be for me. But that was put there to reveal to Job that is him. Job types held the mystery of his life and ministry. The tree, the flower, the sun, the springtime. He all began to tie together. And so the springtime is the appointed time in God's economy when the sun returns. And when the sun returns, he returns in the role of enforcer. And those things that died and served God's purpose, knowing that there's a promise the sun will come back, could make a claim for restoration when it is revealed to them the sun has returned. When we catch a revelation, that Revelation 10, that seven seals have been pulled back and the Lord has descended, what happens? We could make a claim for restoration. Amen! Job began to see. He began to see the full mystery of the sun. He began to unveil to him now. That sun's the light of the world. And as the inspiration was swelled up in his heart, Job began to rise up his ash heap. He wasn't looking at his flesh no more. He wasn't looking at the boils on his skin no more. He wasn't looking at the house burned down and all his coffers and mockers. He broke the sound barrier. Amen! And he began to speak in the revelation of his faith. He began to act upon his inspiration. You talking about Micaiah's vision last night. Now you're talking about Job's vision. It's your vision. Amen! Amen! And Job began to speak by inspiration. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know I'm dying like the flower. I'm dying like the tree. But there's a promise of springtime. The life will be made in you again. It speaks of the resurrection morning. He said, because I know I serve God's purpose. Amen. Upon the peace of the Spirit. I know that my Redeemer liveth. The prophet is preaching here about Job. And then he began to speak and show God all of the troubles come. But when those troubles come, it's a sign. It's something good for us. You might know, he said, there had been no rainbow until the flood came. But after Noah was pressed into that condition that he was in, to float 40 days and 40 nights in a storm, the little ark pitched up and down the water. It was after the flood was over that he saw the rainbow for the first time. The covenant of hope, the covenant of promise. After he had went through the tribulation, he saw the promise. It wasn't until the Hebrew boys was forced into the fiery furnace, one of the most outstanding trials, that they seen one like the Son of God among them. Their troubles produced the Son of God standing among them in the breezes to wave the heat wave away. But not until they went into the fire did that comforter come. Amen. Through Abraham. He says, Abraham, it was after he had suffered his trials, after he went through the troubles that he had been through, that God appeared to him in the form of a man to sit there and told him that he was married and his wife's name was Sarah, and she laughed at him in the tent behind. It was there that Abraham called him Elohim. It was after the trial and the tribulation. He said, oh, the church could only wait to itself today to find it after the troubles and trials and laughed and made fun of the things the church has been through, the Pentecostal church, that we see God in our midst doing great signs and wonders. They went to trials and saw God. They went to trials and saw angels. They went to trials and revelations and saw signs and wonders and things. But oh, none of them saw what Job saw. All the man, after seeing angels, after seeing God, they never saw nothing to give them hope beyond the grave. But Job saw the resurrection. Job saw Easter. Amen. Hallelujah. Then he must have saw the vision of Easter when he cried, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He couldn't say it until he had seen the vision of Easter. Until the Easter seal was pulled back and the Easter message unfolded to show it's resurrection time for the bride, just like it was for the groom. Amen. He says, and he said, oh, my words will pend with an iron pen and a stone. That my words can never fail away no more. For I know my Redeemer liveth. I know. What do you know, Job? I know that my Redeemer liveth. Did you notice? Not only was there someone living, but he was a Redeemer to Job. He said, I know that my Redeemer. What do you know? He said, I'm not guessing at it. We got too much guessing today. I know my Redeemer liveth. Now what was he? If he lived, he was a Redeemer to Job. My personal, my Redeemer liveth. Through there was the greatest vision. To see the vision of Easter. Job had the greatest revelation of all of them. He saw something to give him hope beyond the grave. Daniel saw an angel. The Hebrew children saw the Son of God. Noah saw the rainbow. Abraham seen God face to face. But Job saw the resurrection. Job looked forward. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That just feels so good. Job saw the resurrection. Amen. What Job was seeing, he saw there's an appointed time in God's economy. He saw that there was a season designated in the plan of God for the restoration of the things that died. He saw that the return of the sun, this mystery under the Easter seal, the sun coming back a second time. He saw that the return of the sun was going to set a law in motion. A law for what? To bring a resurrection. Look what the early church had. They wrote 28 chapters of Acts. The alpha bride, the grain, the corn of wheat, the form in the image. Because the grain is the image of the life. When it went on the ground, the image was shattered. A stalk was not the image. A tassel was not the image. A shock looked like the image, but was not the image. And when that original image of the word comes back in the believer, Christ in you, in the person, God's own life, holy. You are changed from glory unto glory. As you behold the glory of the Lord in a mirror, is changed into it until you see face to face, until you know as you are known. Amen. Then we'll see a real resurrection. We'll see Acts 29. Christ in the true church is the continuation of the book of Acts. You see a people stand there with such a divine love. They had that divine love among them, that woman saw visions. It's not just prophets alone see visions. Cornelius saw visions. The woman at the tomb saw visions. Amen. That translation. When he didn't need no chariot to get him back where he's going. When they prayed, the building shake. When the ministers were put in prison, they prayed him out of the prison. When the dead fell down, they raised them back up. When they came and gathered together after suffering persecution, had no complaining, they were rejoicing, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And in that vision of the praise of the bride, he said the first bride has returned again. Alpha has become Omega. People have such faith that Peter was anointed and commissioned. They step in the shadow, having faith. And was healed. There is to be a resurrection of that bride. Same way as had one for the bridegroom, there is to be one for the bride. I want to say it's Easter time for the bride. Because we are seeing the vision of Easter. Like Job, we are breaking into that place where we know he has come back. Amen! The Lord has descended. And he comes in the role of the enforcer to bring a restoration to all the things that die. Today, hear so many speak of the Son of Man being revealed. How the seven times holy mystery of the seven seal and is coming in these things. This great Easter seal. But it's still cold and dead. And there's no signs of life. There's no leaf. Clap their hands, fellowship. The locust has eaten the leaves. When people don't want to come to church and don't have fellowship, it's a locust eating that leaf. When somebody comes to them and they can't get no shade, can't find fellowship in the word, under the heat of the toils of the day. See, when there's no fruit, no meekness, no humility, no patience, no long-suffering, no joy, no peace, it's just a palm woman's on that tree having a good time. He's eating himself full of the fruits. Amen? Because remember, in that resurrection, the leaves come back. I will restore all that the locusts have eaten. I'll bring back the leaves. They'll be planted by rivers of water. The leaves shall not wither. They will bring forth their fruit. The teaching for the season, the fruit of the spoken word in the season of the third pole, bring forth their fruit in due season. They'll have the bark, original apostolic bark. We have so much funny interpretations today in the message. But man's eye is injected. That's not the original bark. Amen. And then the life. So many declare, you don't have no signs and wonders and power and these things no more. We have everything. And yet they are dead as a doornail. And the life was supposed to come back. I restore what the caterpillar have eaten. Amen. Now watch. Many have seen great things today. Many have seen angels. Oh, they testify, I saw the angel of the Lord. I saw the pillar of fire. I saw this, I saw that. Yeah. Many saw rainbows. Yeah. Oh, I had a sign of a rainbow. God spoke to me through the rainbow. They saw lights. But they are still laying dead. Because what they have seen have not opened to them a channel for restoration. Hallelujah. But the greatest vision we can receive today, the greatest revelation we can receive, is one that would open up to us the channel for restoration. Hallelujah. To see that the springs have returned and we can make a claim for restoration. Abraham saw Elohim. Noah saw the rainbow. Daniel saw the angel of the Lord. But Job saw the resurrection. He saw God's appointed time for full restoration. And he knew that his Redeemer lived. Luther saw justification. Wesley saw sanctification. The Pentecostal saw the restoration of the gifts. But this bride has seen the return of the spring sun. We have seen the Son of Man being revealed. We see Elohim come in flesh. The revealing of the Son of Man. Just as he promised, I will return in John 14. In a threefold mystery, a shout, a voice, and a trump. We saw it being revealed. We saw the breaking of the Easter seal. When that son comes in the role of an enforcer, and that bride rises to her feet regardless of her troubles, regardless of inflation, regardless of unemployment, regardless of recession, regardless the mortgage company will take over your house. Hallelujah. Regardless of famine or whatever it is, she rises and I know that my Redeemer liveth.
Amen. Why? She sees him standing on the earth. One foot on the land and one foot on the sea in the last days. She know that the resurrection, the life, is here amongst us. She know the true bread is he who cometh down from heaven. And Revelation 10, Isaac cries, a mighty angel coming down from heaven. The living bread, that if a man eat, he will never die, and he will raise him up at the last day. Job, begin to see it. And hear the bride like Job, seeing that we in the midst of our Easter, because the Son of return. Amen, look at it. Joel here in the book of Joel. We close now quickly. He saw the tree eaten down. God gave him a vision. I can imagine the impact of that vision. Joel looked and he saw that tree. And he saw them bugs, that Roman spirit, eating away at that tree. And it was eaten right down. And no doubt his heart must have fainted within him. It was such a beautiful tree. It was bearing so much fruit. Had such shady leaves. The bark looked so strong. Amen. But God said, wait a minute, Joel. What's something she's going to come back in view? Hallelujah. And then he began to see the tree coming back up again. I will restore, said the Lord. He saw the tree eaten down, but with a promise of restoration. Get it? Job saw the vision of Easter. God's appointed time. Joel saw the tree eaten down, but with a promise of restoration. But Job saw the time that restoration takes place. When the sun returns. Amen. When he comes in the role of enforcer. Amen. David saw the tree, same tree, restored in the appointed time, blooming again, bringing forth fruit in due season. And in this, the prophet who was living in the time of restoration, who saw the same tree that Joel saw, that Job saw, that David saw. Amen. He revealed the tree. He said, that tree is the bride. And he identified as Easter time. And he proved to us that we are in Easter. Amen. He proved to us that he had the leaves. Did he have the leaves? Did he have the fruit? Did he have the bark? Did he have the life? He proved to us we were in Easter. A prophet in the time of restoration, looking under the Easter seal, which held a mystery of the return of the spring sun. And he revealed to us the purpose for which the sun returns. Amen. To bring a restoration to the things that died. No wonder he said we are already in the Easter. There will be an Easter for the bride. He was seeing the vision that Luther and Wesley and all of them didn't see. Though they saw lights and angels and rainbows. He was seeing the coming of the Son of Man being revealed. Amen. I all accumulated together to draw a picture for him. To reveal this great mystery under the Easter seal. When there will be an Easter message. He said the Easter message was dynamics with mechanics. So our Easter time is not commemorating Easter season. Our Easter time is when the Easter seal is pulled back. When the Easter message is being preached. In the Sunday, when the mighty angel comes down and pulls the stone back. And the cold, stiff, dead body is shaken back to life. And the living is no longer among the dead. Why seek the living among the dead? It's not the end of all. It's a resurrection of the dark denominationalism. Amen. Hallelujah.
So what's something? Revelation, the bride, chapter 20 says, God set all his laws to serve him. We come to our close. Let you who might need your health restored make a claim for restoration of your health. You might have children out in the world taken away unlawfully from you, being robbed from the privilege of being a son and daughter of God. You can claim them this morning. If you know the spring sun has returned, don't forget how much snow covered that seed. Forget about problems and conditions, cover them over. Hallelujah. God set all of his laws in motion, he says. And it must work according to his word. So here the prophet is showing us our restoration is sure. Because there's a time appointed in God's economy, Easter time, for restoration of the things that died. He's showing us there's a channel for it to be done. We can lay dead here, even though it's a seed. You can lay dead there if you don't make a claim for restoration. See? You have to make a claim for it. If you know you're serving God's purpose. If you know he has returned in the role of the enforcer. Look at Abraham and Sarah. There was no covenant. Joined together, husband and wife. And a greater than Sarah is here. Amen. Joined to a greater than Abraham. And between the revealing of the Son of Man, when the spring sun returned, the Son of Man has been revealed, was Easter time. Until the full resurrection. Amen. And during that time, between the coming of the promised Son and the revealing of the Son of Man, somewhere between 1966 and 1986, Abaddon, that king. Amen. Look at the lamb's wife. Amen. And tries to abduct her. He might want to take away her health. But watch. The prophet shows us. Now, restoration of the bride tree, he took Joel 2. The symbol of the bride as the tree that was eaten down. And then he took Sarah, Genesis 20, another type of the bride. Because the mystery of the bride was in shadows and types. And he began to gather together and show the promise of restoration of the tree that was eaten down being restored. But with Sarah, it shows how he does it. He himself comes.
Amen.
He himself comes as the enforcer. You're a dead man and your whole kingdom will be destroyed if you don't give back that man's wife right away. He is begging him, he's not asking no favors, not apologizing for nothing. God come and see him. Give up or you're dead. Hallelujah. Breaking the revealing of the Son of Man and the promised Son. It was Easter time, you see. The Son of Man was revealed. God was enforcing a rightful condition of restoration. And in that season, he comes in the role of the enforcer. To enforce it! He's showing us that we can make a claim. He's showing us that God has to recognize it. Otherwise, entire program is in chaos if you don't do it now. Because Easter time is the time appointed when God comes in the role of an enforcer to enforce that restoration. That tree will lay dead, but it a promise. The sun will come back one day.
Amen.
It's going to make a long journey, but it's going to come back.
Right.
And all that time, the snow is piling up. The troubles, the conditions, the frustrations. The world becoming more evil. Yeah. The neighborhood becoming more evil. On the job you're being victimized.
Yeah.
Pile it up!
Yeah.
Hallelujah! But from the time the revelation strikes. Hallelujah! You can rise off your sheep! Amen. Easter is God's appointed time to see the vision of Easter and to know your Redeemer lives. So the prophet is showing us when the Son of Man is going to reveal again in the evening time, Revelation 10, there was going to be a great Sunday. There's going to be an Easter seal. There's going to be an Easter message. There's going to be Easter again for true believers. Amen. As we close with this last few remarks here. Now watch. He proved to us we are living the Easter. And because the prophet knew the Son had returned, he knew the time he was living in. He knew the claims that he could make. He knew that God appointed a time where God himself comes in that role. The Holy Spirit, the agent of God. Somebody steal your car and you cannot maybe face the person on the stand with a, you know, some big heavy guy and says, you come here, I'll break every bone in your body. You touch that car and it's your own car and you're afraid. And you have the certified copy. You can prove you're the legal owner. All you have to do is go to the Supreme Court. Amen. And when the judge sees that you are the legal rightful owner, then the law of the land is a law that to enforce a rightful condition of restoration of that vehicle back to you. Now, if God will do that, which is a motor car, there's some mechanics, some dust of the earth in that form. What about his sons and his daughters? Amen. Really at Easter time when this is happening. Page 19, Resurrection of the Bride Tree. Easter is the resurrection. It's God restoring time. What is it? He's restoring. It's Easter. It means to bring it back. The flower claims it has a right to rise again. And God's law of nature pulls the earth around and make the law of God in nature bring forth an Easter. A resurrection. The return of the sun to restore what the winter killed while it was from the earth. Amen. God sends the earth back around, as we are told. Way back here, the earth went away from the sun. Went back out there. That's where a sinner does. Gets away from the S-O-N. But when this earth, this is the earth here. But there's a seed in this earth. Amen. See. And death strikes it. It kills everything it can kill out there. And now when the earth gets back around, the seed is laying on the ground. They are frozen. They pop around to them. Everything's gone. But there's a little life preserved. And as soon as the sun gets back in position with the earth again, then there's a restoration. There's an Easter. We can look in this season on the outside and see the dead tree that looks so dead. You might have felt sorry for it. All the poly's gone. It can't fellowship no more. All the bark look crack up and falling off. The life is nowhere to be seen. Not a fruit on it. It looks a hopeless case. Yeah. And you may look at your children, maybe bonging drugs out in the world, or your husband, you know, one foot in the church and one foot out in the world somewhere, and you're wondering what's going to happen. If there's a hope, if there's a chance. You may be trying your own human ability and your own influence, and all you need to see is spring shall have returned. And as hopeless as it might look, just like when that king took Sarah, a greater than Sarah. What about when that devil want to come and take the lamb's wife? If he's going to destroy that king and his kingdom, what do you think he's going to do with this one and his Satan's Eden? Amen! God is here to enforce it this morning. If these have been preached and you believe that to be the truth, that seed is not thinking how much snow is upon it. And when the sun comes, he sure isn't looking at the snow and kind of comparing, I wonder if I could do it, you know. He comes to melt away every bit of that snow, melt in the water, and make the water bring the life back up. To see the vision of Easter.
While it would have been preached, have you seen the vision of Easter? Have you seen it's God's appointed time? It's not another age. This is the age. This is the hour. This is the message. This is the seal. To see the Holy Spirit is here. Not to beg, to plead with. He comes as the enforcer. And you there might be struggling, holding your head above the water, trying to live according to every word that you know. And yet you see your own human ability, maybe cannot do it. Then God is here to enforce it for you this morning.
Amen.
As soon as the sun gets in position with the earth, and the Son of Man, the Word this morning being revealed, shining so bright, lining up with your earth, yeah, that can strike the seed in that earth,
yeah,
then there should be a law of life, a law of resurrection, making you raise up to your right place. Far above all these things. You say, Lord, I believe your word. And I know you are here in the will of enforcer. When Abraham saw that king, Abraham said, "It's one man. I can't go and fight that whole nation. I can't even get in there past them guards." And Sarah inside there said, "Oh God, look what we get ourselves in now." And she said, "But wait, we saw the Son of Man reveal. We know it's Easter time. Hallelujah! We saw his praying son. He turned his back and he's on our hearts. He opened the word.
Amen.
We can make a claim for restoration. Hallelujah! And God came on the scene. If Sarah was your type, and you're living in the very same hour between the Elohim being revealed and the promised son, the very Easter time, then if you are greater than Sarah, why don't you step forward and express that greater faith than what Sarah had? Amen. Easter means to restore. The prophet says, Satan has robbed you of the privilege of being a son and daughter of God. We have a right this morning by the Holy Spirit to enforce the claim of God. Bring them back. If he's afflicted you and made you sick, we have a right before God to enforce the laws of God. By his stripes we are healed. Bring him back. Turn him loose. You have taken him out yonder to death. We claim him. Bring him back. That's the enforcement. Restore it back to its natural condition again. We have a right to enforce our claim. We have a right to enforce that law. The lawgiver, the Holy Spirit himself is here, the agent of God, to see that it's done that way. A fish have a law to swim. A bird have a law to fly. You don't have to go try to take a long run and take off. No. Fish don't have to take a deep breath. No. And you are a fish. You are a rainbow trout.
Amen.
You're a bird. You're an eagle.
Amen.
As a son and daughter of God, you have a law of faith inside of you.
Amen.
To believe God. To receive inspiration. And that faith is nourished by the word it hears. And the faith muscles rises to possess the gates that the devil put to fence you in. Let's stand to our feet this morning. As a son and daughter of God, let us be set in our heart. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Amen. The greatest vision that a person could have, the greatest revelation a person could receive this morning is to see that vision of Easter.
Amen.
Amen. To know it's Easter time is God appointed time for full restoration. Don't lay there dead this morning. Don't lay there sick this morning. This is the time God appoint to restore everything. When you use the seed, try to make a claim in summer, it bypassed the opportunity in spring and tried to be a late believer.
Yeah.
The foolish virgin found the door locked.
True.
We have to move in season when God is moving.
Yeah.
When you use in fall, it tries to make a claim. It must recognize that was the season. That was the time appointed. It was waiting there. All that time, maybe with patience for the winter to pass, for the sun to return, waiting that it could exercise the law inside of it and make that claim for a resurrection, for a restoration. Amen. to see the vision of Easter, to know your Redeemer this morning. Job had the greatest revelation. The bridal hour has received the greatest revelation. God put us in this age. Luther waited for it. Wesley waited for it. The Pentecost waited for it. But we have seen the return of the Son. We have seen that ministry being revealed. We have seen the evidence of what was lost back in the Garden of Eden coming back and being manifested and waved before us. Then have faith this morning. Whatever you ask, if you abide in my word and my word abide in you, ask what you will. It's Easter time for the bride. We have rights by the Bible to make that claim, the prophet says, this morning. Satan robbing you from the privilege of being a son or daughter of God, making you live below your God-given privileges. But Abraham told a story one time about his chaplain after World War I. It's like the musicians to play softly because he lives. That fought the wars, poison gas, 1939 to 1914 to 1918. Bloody war, millions died. Poison gas, chlorine, mustard gas, all these things. And the war had ended. All the wrecked planes, all the trees burnt up, all the grass, nothing in sight, nowhere. They went to take a drive out into the Argonne Forest in France. While he was driving out there, the chaplain stopped in the field and he walked out. It was Easter Sunday. He was looking around. It was resurrection season. It was resurrection time. When all nature was supposed to be testifying, a witness, a voice of the resurrection, revealing it was resurrection time. The life was to be expressing it is the resurrection. It was dead everywhere. He said the trees, the leaves were burnt up, no bark on the trees, no grass, nothing inside. He said, Brother Branham, when I realized it was Easter, he said, let's hang my head and begin to cry. So, oh God, look at it, dead everywhere. I think of 20 years after that prophet went off the scene. And all the wars and the message being fought, not even for principles. And death with the poison gases of malice and wickedness and strife, ambition and greed. Men trying to establish their own self and building their kingdoms and these things. And it's death everywhere. And now it's time for the resurrection. There's supposed to be a voice of the resurrection. They're supposed to be a witness of the season. Hallelujah. While in our hearts we almost want to break and cry, oh God. Look, the generation see Israel in their homeland is about finished. The World Council of Churches, Titan, forming the image of the beast. The press coming down. We see what is happening. But where is the witness of the resurrection? We see death all over. All these dictators with their little kingdoms went out there to war, fighting one another, to be superior to one another. Get the armies killed, everything. But all of a sudden, as he raised up his head, he saw a little rock, a little white rock, laying there. And somebody told him, just turn it over. And when he turned that rock over, was the Easter flower. A voice of the resurrection. Giving testimony of Easter time. Giving a witness of the season. I believe that this little church here this morning is like that Easter flower sheltered by the rock of the revealed word message. Protected from all that evil influence. All them poison gases. And death is struck everywhere. Hallelujah. But beneath that rock, God is pushing it back now to bring forth a witness. A voice of the resurrection. Bring forth his testimonies Easter time. Don't you want to be that Easter flower this morning? Lord, let me be that voice. Let me be that witness. Let's sing it, because he lives.
That was a masterpiece.
Amen.
Sent by God. Absolutely. Sent by God. Had special meaning to me, I guess. Special meaning. Not more than 100 yards from where I'm standing. A few days ago would be the 16th anniversary of my father's passing. But I don't keep track of those anniversaries. That day passed without me even, I didn't think of it till this morning. Do you know why? I don't keep anniversaries of death. My anniversary is the resurrection. That's my anniversary. Didn't even dawn on me till just now. I came home, as anybody would, rather stunned. I didn't expect my father to go. He wasn't sick. Massive cerebral hemorrhage, just went like that. He laid in the hospital a few days, but Dad was coming out. My dad was, he had many years, yet he was only 64. Looked like my brother, didn't have near the gray hair that I have. I just expect him to come out, that's all. When I came home, after he just, God called him. I came to the house not 100 yards from where I am. My mother was there. Rebecca's mother, my sister, my half-sister. I really didn't know what to do. I knew I had to start contacting the family. One brother who's been here was halfway out in the ocean, captain of a ship. I had to somehow contact him. And I just thought, I guess the thing we ought to do is read some scripture. I don't remember throwing my Bible open. I was in a bit of a shock, I guess. But my Bible was open. I just looked down on the scripture and just started to read. There was no particular choice of scripture. I just thought, we better read some scripture. And I began to read. Right where my eyes fell, Job 14:1, man is born of woman, and born of trouble, lives for a few days. And I read there, and he looks at a tree, and it's become a dry stump in the earth. Today, oh, Brother Vin, I love you, brother. If you didn't preach to anybody else, you know the great mystery for me is why I'm still here. I felt I'd be resurrected in a rapture today. I thought I'm ready to go. I'm just ready to go. the stump preached a message to Job. When you see the flower, you recognize it's you? You see an old tree out there just starting to bud? You recognize it's you? Now, Job had his own personal revelation from his own personal Bible. But God sent you a personal message through a personal messenger. And have you seen that Bible speak to you? Hallelujah. When he talks about Sarah, he talks about me. When he talks about Esther, he talks about me. Talks about the shuck. Doesn't talk about me. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I trust with everything that's in me that the meetings will mean to you something even more and more as the days go on. I'm praying for one thing. God, take this message and personalize it to every one of our people. Make it personal to you. It's no good just to be for your husband or your wife or the next brother or sister beside you. Personalize it to you. If you're a visitor here this morning, I pray that God will take this word and personalize it to you. If you're here and a fine believer, brother, sister, say, I believe it. Brother Ed, it seems like there's 20 feet of snow up there. The sun shining, folks. The sun shining. Gonna melt that snow. And the water's gonna make that seed come up. Do you believe it? I believe it. I felt the weight of that snow too. Oh, I'm glad the sun was shining this morning. It just helped me get a little more out of the message. Tonight's the last service as far as we know. Brother Vin's going to be here. I don't know what. I know he wants to take a couple days off. And I know if we ask for a service, I haven't asked him about it. But, you know, I know it puts a lot of pressure. It's hard to have a day off and know you got to speak again. But, you know, don't you think they come easy for Brother Vin? I think so. Every minister in the country lays that one on me. Oh, it's just so easy. You just get up there and just preach away. And well, I think it is that way with Brother Vin. I think he just gets up and it's real easy for him. Might be nice to have a meeting Tuesday night. Will you pray about it today and we'll just see. But tonight, at least, we're having last service. And if you can't be here tonight, don't forget to give today. We want to give our Brother Vin a love offering. Also, don't forget your tithes and your worship in giving as well. And tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to be gathering here. Oh, I don't know what more to say. I'm just going to, we'll just sing the chorus again. And then I want to sing also, the stone is rolled back. The tomb is empty. I wish we had the words for you. We haven't got it in the book. But just sing along and make a joyful noise to the Lord. Okay. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know, he holds the future and is worth the living just because he lives. Once again in worship to him, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. All fear is gone, because I know he holds the future and is worth the living just because he lives. stone is rolled back gone. The tomb is empty gone to sit at the Father's right hand. Oh, it's gone over death triumphant gone. Sin is defeated gone. He lives forevermore. Oh, gone. The stone is rolled back gone. The tomb is empty gone. To sit at the Father's right hand. Oh, gone. Sin is defeated gone. He lives forevermore. Just listen to these wonderful words. Gone. The stone is rolled back. Have you got that? Amen. It's number one. Gone. The tomb is empty. Amen. Gone to sit at the Father's right hand. Amen. Gone over sin triumphant. Over death triumphant, is it? Over death triumphant. Gone. Sin is defeated. Amen. The snowbank has to melt.
Amen.
Amen. The enforcer's here.
Hallelujah.
Sin is defeated. Not gonna be, is defeated. He lives forevermore. You can remember those. The tomb is empty. The stone is rolled back. The tomb is empty. Sits at the Father's right hand. All right, help us sing it. Gone, the stone is rolled back, gone, the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at the Father's right hand. Oh, he's gone, oh, deep up and gone, sin is defeated, gone, he lives forevermore. Oh, gone. The stone is rolled back, gone. The tomb is empty, gone. To sit at the Father's right hand. Oh, it's gone. Death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, God. He lives forevermore. We praise you, Lord. We praise your holy name. What a glorious day. What a glorious day. Praise and glory. Praise your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We'll bow our heads reverently before you, Lord Jesus. You are indeed the resurrection and the life. We see you, Lord, not just in nature, but we see you in the bride tree. We see it blossoming, Lord. We see it bringing forth fruit. And we see that fruit is ripe, as the prophet said, ripe at the top of the tree. Lord, where the sun is shining in all of its glory. And I pray, dear Father, for every individual that has heard the word preached and spoken this morning, they might realize this is not just an Easter sermon, Lord. This is a living message. Oh, that has been sent from the very bosom of God. These secrets that are spoken to his bride, the elected of Christ, the elect lady. Lord, we thank you today that we have breath within these bodies. Lips, oh God, that can form words and praises. And a heart that can grasp, Lord, and have some depth of understanding of what you've done today. Thank you, Lord, for the faithful messenger, O God, that you sent. And the word has been so rich to us. We thank you, Lord, for our brother Vin that has labored here in the word of God, has delivered his soul today, Lord. I pray that this word will have an ongoing ripple effect throughout our day, not only today, but the coming days as well. Oh, God, I pray it'll be such a source of strength and inspiration. Father, I ask that any life that might stand in need yet, it would be amazing to me that one could sit through this sort of a service, oh Lord. But if it should be, I pray that there'll come a resurrection to them, a personalized resurrection. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that there wouldn't be a bondage of any nature or type that would be able to stand in your presence. For we know in the presence of the Son, oh God, that snowbank has to melt, Lord. We know, God, that those troubles and circumstances, they cannot withstand the growth and the promise of that enforcement, O Lord, of that resurrection of that Easter flower. I pray that we as your children might give off the fragrance that we ought to today, Lord. That we might give off the beauty, O Lord, and that the environment of this community, Lord, wherever we are to be, may the environment be different because of the presence of your children there. And I ask today, Lord, that As we will be returning tonight, oh, just grant us a glorious time in your presence. Once again, Father, I am offering thanks and praise for what you've done for our brother Otto's cousin, Martin, Lord. Especially, Lord, as we heard the message today, it meant that much more to us to know that the enforcer came on hand and brought about the word according to the faith that was in our brother's heart. And now, Lord, dismiss us with your grace and blessings. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I commend these people and the words that have been spoken to you. In your name we ask it, amen and amen. Praise God. On this Easter morning, let's greet one another. May we? Shall we? With a God bless you, brother, God bless you, sister, and you're all dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen.